Heavenly Father, through weak human words, give us the grace to hear your true and living word. Amen. We are about to enter another dimension, not of sight and sound, but of the mind. A journey into a wondrous land of imagination. The next stop, the Twilight Zone. I invite you to imagine that you're on a mountaintop. However, you're not alone. There are four men with you. You recognize them. It's Jesus and his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And as you watch them talking, something strange happens to Jesus. It's a metamorphosis of sorts. He begins to glow bright and brilliantly. His clothes now turn a pure white. You shield your eyes from that because it hurts to look into the sun. The light is so bright, it's consuming Jesus with the light. But through your fingers, you see Moses and Elijah have arrived. You are hiding with James and John when Peter finds the courage to get up and says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here," because no one would believe it. "I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then if that wasn't enough, the mountain becomes covered by a massive bright cloud, and we hear a voice from heaven, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." That part dramatically echoes down the valley. "Listen to him, listen to him, listen to him." Wow, that's a dramatic story. It almost does sound like a Twilight Zone episode. And I probably could have made it even more imaginative. And I'm sure that after the death of Jesus, that story was told and retold and reinterpreted. And that's the problem. The ministry of Jesus is so grand and so impressive that it sounds unbelievable. But this moment, this event, is so pivotal and so dramatic, it really is hard to embellish. That's why Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells almost the identical story. Even John refers to it. That's why Peter has to address it in his second letter, not as a spiritual leader to a young church, but to an eyewitness to this pivotal moment, the transfiguration of Christ, to give authority to it, to show how important it is. But why is it such a big deal? This event provides confirmation that Jesus was the divine Son of God. Just 6 days after he had admitted that he was the Christ, that he had left his heavenly home in all of its glory to save humankind. Now having Peter, James, and John, we have a front row to this event, to the glorification of the human body of Jesus. It's as if he has to reveal that to us, his divine glory. This morning's gospel is an intersection of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, and the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. When Moses and Elijah appear, they complete the story. Bear with me as I explain. Firstly, Moses represents the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, the law that God gave us, he gave to his people. The law pointed to the faults in human nature. When we distance ourselves from God, or sin, Jesus fulfills the commandments. He provides the solution to the problem of sin. Just as the law pointed to our rebellious nature, Jesus gives us salvation. Secondly, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are on the mountaintop, glowing brilliantly in their glorified bodies. Jesus will rule the kingdom in his glorified body. Moses represents the saved, that will enter God's kingdom through death. And Elijah, who never died, represents all of the prophets. Some scholars have noted that Moses died and Elijah didn't. And so that may represent the living and the dead who are under the care of God. But is Jesus, not Moses or Elijah, who is center stage today? All of the words that were ever spoken by the prophets are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word made real. And thirdly, the Transfiguration is the pivotal moment, and that setting on the mountain is presented as the point where human nature meets God. The meeting place of the temporal and the eternal, with Jesus himself as the connecting point, acting as a bridge between heaven and earth. The Transfiguration was the glorification of his human body, and on that mountaintop, his body underwent a metamorphosis of sorts. He just turned brilliant, pure white. Just as the season of Epiphany is ending, so is Jesus' earthly ministry ending. Having witnessed this through our readings and through our understandings of the events, we are privileged to see his divinity revealed to all of us through his word. Jesus told Peter, James, and John not to say anything about what had just happened until he had risen from the dead, because they still don't quite yet understand it, that he, the Son of Man, must suffer death and rise from the dead. Peter, James, and John, and we all are invited to walk off the mountain with Jesus, down into the crowds of the hungry and the suffering people. While Peter wants to build tents and stay on the mountain, they must, and we must, return to the world to continue God's work. That can be transformative for us, to the people we meet, and perhaps the world. You know, to walk in love. As Jesus and the boys walk off the mountain and towards his resurrection, we begin our journey into Lent. However you choose to prepare, let your actions show the kindness of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Put the needs of others before your pleasures. This Lenten season, let it not be about giving up things like chocolate or pasta, because that's not happening in my house. Let it be a season of service to others, a season of prayer, a season where you're committed to walk with God, with Jesus through all of Holy Week. As a member of the kingdom of God, we cannot just sit on our hands and wait. I pray that this Lenten season renews your faith. My friends, it is time to let your anger and your frustration melt away. Know that you're not alone. In the kingdom of God, we are all together. This week, I'd like you to think of a paradox. I'd like you to think about how the Son of God affirms the divinity of Jesus, and that the Son of Man affirms the humanity of Jesus. But here's the rub. It took the Son of God to complete Jesus' earthly ministry, and it took the Son of Man to complete the divine ministry of Christ by suffering on the cross. Amen.